Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Max, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I got you. I wasn't hearing any music, anything. Yeah, I don't hear. Usually we hear...
Why you change your voice, Jay?
Why did I go into host voice?
Yeah, you went into host
voice.
Yeah,
she went into host
voice. That's what you do every day. I'm around you,
man. You went into host voice. You went into straight audition voice.
Well, welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck. So, we're going to have a lot more NBA Finals talk in 10 minutes.
I signed off.
By the way, we have former All-Star Devin Harris joining us in 10 minutes, guys, to get into the NBA Finals. Plus, your chance to win 3 Gs in 30 minutes. If you stick around for today's winning word, half hour from now, you have a chance to win $3,000. But Jay.
Amen.
Doris Burke. But Jay, you were on Get Up when Ryan Clark joined us. And he said this about who gives you a better chance to win between Jacoby Brissett and Baker Mayfield. Listen to this.
I was never trying to make the case that Baker Mayfield will help this team this year win a Super Bowl. I was trying to make the case that if the Browns are still in a position where they're trying to negotiate what team they can send Baker Mayfield to, and they're saying, all right, well, we're willing to pay a portion of the salary, things of that sort. If they feel like his value is so down, if he is healthy, and if he has had a moment – where he's willing to work on himself with humble pie, why not bring him back to the table and allow him to increase his value to then leverage it to get him out of your franchise and get something maybe in return?
Well, because you're not going to invest more money in a bad investment and just continue to keep doing it. He's a bad investment for them at this point. They just need to cut bait. You cannot bring him in to try to increase the value on him. And what I mean by that is a bad investment. You've invested in him as the number one overall pick. You bring him back into the fold. You alienate the rest of your team that does not want him in the locker room. Why would you continue to do that?
So you're talking about like the equity within the locker room is at stake, because as an investment, you have to pay him regardless, right?
Yeah, you got to pay him regardless, but you're putting money aside, let's forget about the money. I'm talking about that investment in who he is, the body of work that you're now trying to get him to turn things around. You're hoping and praying he's a different – he could come in and be the greatest guy in the world, and he's not – they're not going to look at him the same. He's a sour pill to the locker room. They're just not going to look at him the same.
That argument – I agree with it, but that argument – only to me holds water if, as a result of what you're talking about, now the team can't win. Because RC's argument seems to be like what I inferred from it was, look, maybe you win a game or two more with Baker than with Brissett. Maybe it means you get to the playoffs with Baker and not Brissett. But you ain't going to win a Super Bowl either way, so who cares? But to me, there is still an argument, even if I don't sign up for it, if I don't subscribe to it, others might, that says, wait a minute. If you're telling me I can make the playoffs with Baker and I'm going to miss him with Brissett, why? And I got Baker under contract, why not? So I'm trying to figure out, are you saying, no, you ain't going to make the playoffs with Baker because he's a poison pill? Or are you saying, even if you did make the playoffs, it's just bad for your franchise?
They don't want him in the locker room, Max. So, therefore, guys are going to look at it and, you know, they're going to be like, it's bad energy. It's bad juju.
Yeah, bad juju.
Yeah, bad juju, bad energy. Like, think about, you don't want to be with somebody and you go on to work every single day. You're not going to be happy. It creates a negative
sour
environment.
Sour feeling, yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want that negative vibe. Can Baker Mayfield win a Super Bowl as a quarterback in the National Football League? I think he's well capable of doing
still?
That. Being a part of a team that can win a Super Bowl.
Wait, so he has not sullied his reputation around the league. It's specifically in the Browns locker room.
Coach, it's different with reputation versus ability. Mm-hmm. His ability, healthy, he had the Kansas City Chiefs on the brink, okay, mm-hmm. Two seasons ago. He got hurt last year. If he didn't get hurt last year, the Browns probably were going to make the playoffs. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. Of course, you go get a Deshaun Watson if everything works out the way it's supposed to. You're going to go do that. Anybody would do that. But what I would say is because of the negativity around him and the Cleveland Browns, he can't win a Super Bowl and help Cleveland. But if there's a team, give me a team.
Outside the AFC.
Give me a team. I don't care who it is. A team that's a playoff team.
Oh, okay.
Definitely
not the Jets in that case. No.
Give me a team that's a playoff team.
The Colts.
He could help the Colts if Matt Ryan, for some reason, wasn't there. He could go in. He could have went into Indianapolis mm-hmm. and helped the Colts make it to the playoffs.
I got one for you, Key. New Orleans.
He could have gone with a healthy club in New Orleans without Jameis Winston and helped them make the playoffs.
But, Key, what about the chit-chat among players and star players and how that can spread? They're like, man, you don't want this dude.
Well,
right? Like, doesn't that affect stuff?
We're talking about something. Yeah, it does. But we're talking about something different, though, right? We're talking about his personality versus his ability.
But the argument seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that his personality has sullied, it soured it in Cleveland, right? But then you saw
in many other places.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? So has it changed? Because now you have dudes, we don't want him here. Max, we don't want him in Miami.
Yeah, that's Carolina, this type of places.
That's why I opposed it. What if Baker Mayfield had a slice of humble pie and his approach was different to the organization's, front office? And
he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt, Jay. It's too late.
But I'm just saying. Yeah, but sometimes circumstances change, though, right? So if you find out that Deshaun Watson cannot play this season, and you're thinking about it, guys still want to come there to make the playoffs. You're just going to sacrifice season? It is what it is?
No, no, and no.
Okay.
That's why he didn't go to minicamp.
I'm going
to
take your word for it.
That's why he didn't go to minicamp. Because the coach has already said no. The organization said no. The Seattle Seahawks bring him in, Pete Carroll. That means Pete Carroll says yes, everything. He's okay. Yeah. Until somebody says he's okay, he's damaged goods. As of right now, everybody's saying no.
Right. So, Jay, to bring your point and Key's point together, it seems to me that, humble pie maybe is what he needed, and maybe he can succeed going forward, but not in Cleveland.
I know,
it's
gotta
be someplace
it's like, and I get the sensitivity around locker rooms, and I like to bring this to the everyday people that understand, but everyday people work with people they don't like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Why you look dead at me when you say that?
That was not intended.
He was looking all around the room, and then when he said that part, he looked dead at me.
Yeah. I was making
the
point, right?
So
it doesn't mean that somebody
people.
Can't be successful. Some of the most successful shows or industries have people that maybe don't particularly hang out afterwards. But it can still work on the court, the field, or in the office.
Again, I'll explain to you one more time.
Please.
Thick skull.
I know, my thick skull.
I did the other day. If all of a sudden somebody is relieved of their duties and everybody in the control room and all over the studios and all the different places say, man, it's about time. And then they come to us and they say, well, we're going to bring him back. You're going to be like, no, man, we good. We're happy right with what we got. We don't need that negative energy back in our studio. That's the same thing Baker's going through. They don't need the negativity. It was like a celebration, man. When he got out the locker room, they partied.
The clouds partied. The sun came out.
Oh, man, they was woo. They call it OBJ now, talking about will you come back. Come on, man.
Key, why do you do the 21-year-old USC bar party voice? Woo!
Well, it's like that. It's like that Eddie Murphy skit,
Keyshawn
gets off the bus.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Which skit? Hold on. Which Eddie Murphy skit?
No, move on. We got to go to Devin, man.
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about. You talking about SNL skit?
No, the one, the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, 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 SNL. Oh, you mean where he was Mr. White or something? He
got yeah, that one.
And he saw how the white people acted when they thought they were alone. The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champion Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. By the way, I didn't want to tell you guys this, but that actually happens. I've seen it. I'm deep cover for you guys, and I've seen it happen on the bus before.
Will you stop?
Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN.com. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. So you could stream it on ESPN Plus, that is. All right. Devin Harris, 2009 NBA All-Star, joins us now. Good morning.
What up, DH?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What up, DH?
Shut up, Key.
What's going on?
That's my Dallas guy, man. That's my Mavs guy.
So, Devin, what was your biggest takeaway from last night's Celtics win?
My biggest takeaway is the Celtics are a real threat to Golden State. The way that they guard, their ability to score, their ability to take away Golden State's easy baskets and really make them work from the three-point line, they're a real threat.
Dev, I was curious. Like, there were times last night where I'm watching Golden State and, like, man, they look old, right? Like, and obviously Boston is younger, more athletic. But then when I see Robert Williams and his ability to protect the paint, and I look at the lack of size, right, for the Golden State Warriors, like, that's extremely concerning to me. Like, they won points in the paint in game two. They got demolished on points in the paint in game three because Robert Williams was back on the court and he protected the rim.
Yeah, size is a real thing. And you forgot to mention they gave up 15 offensive rebounds for 22 points. Mm-hmm. So you notice we haven't really talked a lot about, you know, Golden State's death lineup, where they go really small and they stretch the floor out, you know, three-point shooting. It's because, you know, Boston's really gone bigger and combated that with Robert Williams, with Al Horford, and really controlling the paint in that sense. And these guys are athletic enough to be able to, you know, make these guys work from the perimeter. So, you know, Steph's found a way to kind of get open shots by putting Al in pick and roll, but it's not enough to combat, you know, what they're doing on the glass and in the paint.
Devin, what role should Draymond Green play if the Warriors are going to win this series and come back and take care of business? Should he be the villain that he's always been, or should he pipe things down?
Well, Draymond has to be who Draymond is, and he's always going to be the villain. He's always going to, you know, speak his mind, you know, talk to the refs. That's who he is. That's the energy that he brings to the game, so he can't change that. But what he needs to do is get more involved in the offense. I don't necessarily mean from a scoring standpoint, but watching the game last night, he was a spectator a lot. And he needs to get back to, you know, moving the ball, getting to the middle of the paint, shooting his floater, getting assists. You know, he can't have a game where he only has 2 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. That's not going to get it done. And he's a high assist guy, a low turnover guy, but he's got to be more of an impact on offense and defense. You know, he gave up a ton of points, you know, guarding Jaylen Brown last night too. So he's got to be more involved on both ends of the floor.
Dev, I was laughing because, you know, when we just had Patrick Beverly on our show and him and I were talking off air, and we were saying, you know, when games are typically over, they bring the people out to the podium who have had the best games, right? So first off, you're watching Draymond come out to the podium. I'm like, okay, as a player, like, I know what time this is. It's going to be like trap questions. Like, the media tries to get something out of you because Draymond will say things and those things can go viral and I can help you write the best stories. But the question that I got asked that really kind of chapped me the wrong way, man, was, I almost chapped my ass the wrong way, Key. It's when they asked him about the podcast.
Right way to chap ones.
They asked him about the podcast, Dev. And I hate when media goes, well, the podcast, is it a distraction? And are you giving away too many of your tactics? This dude has had a podcast since last year, Dev. He's been talking about games and doing interviews forever, it feels like. Now we're asking him if it was a distraction because he had a bad game. They didn't ask him any podcast questions when he had a great game in game two.
Well, you know how that goes. Like, yeah, they need to blame it on something, right? It's his poor play due to his, you know, distraction as far as what he does on the media side. And he's been doing this for, you know, a couple of years now. And guys are allowed to have bad games. Did he play well? No. He'll be the first one to tell you that. I imagine he'll come back and play better in game four. But, guys, you know, in the finals and when teams are scheming for you, sometimes you struggle. And you got to find it. You know, every playoff series is a puzzle. Every playoff game is a puzzle. And you're trying to fit pieces together, figure out what the team's doing and how you can combat that. You know, Draymond struggled with the puzzle last night. But I imagine he will come back in game four and figure it out. That's what good players do.
Devin Harris, 15-year NBA career, 2009 NBA All-Star baller, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dev, if Steph Curry is less than himself the rest of the way, can the Warriors win this thing?
It would be a struggle if he's not fully 100%, because a lot of what he does is the identity of the team. Now, Klay finding his stroke in game three definitely helps. But that's going to put a lot of pressure on other guys, and they haven't been tested in that sense of if they can carry that load, especially in the NBA Finals. But for what I saw after the injury, he looked okay. He still moved around okay, got his shots up. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a problem, but if he comes back, you know, only 50, 60%, it's going to be a struggle for Golden State to win the series.
Devin Harris, 15-year career. Wow, 2009 NBA All-Star, fifth pick in the 2004 NBA Draft here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dev, obviously, we've known each other for a very long time, man, and I'm curious. There's a lot of talk around New York. You know, New York Knicks fans always wondering about, you know, who are players that could be on their team, and a lot of people are fighting for Donovan Mitchell to be here in New York. Quinn Snyder stepping down as a head coach for the Utah Jazz. I know you only played two seasons in Utah, but there are a lot of rumors speculating around, does Donovan like it in Utah? Some things around, you know, the George Floyd protests and how, you know, people in Utah were reacting to that, his relationship with Rudy Gobert. Is there chemistry or is there not? If you were the GM of the Utah Jazz, what do you do with that team?
Well, I think it's been proven that the way the team is structured right now, it's not working. Now, I think, you know, in a Shaq and Kobe type situation, you got to decide, am I going to keep Donovan or am I going to keep Rudy? But you can't keep both. Me personally, I'm keeping Donovan because I think that's the guy you can build around. And I look to shop Rudy and try to better the team that way. Whether Donovan likes it or not, I'm trying to keep him as happy as possible. I think that was a big reason why they brought D-Wade in, mm-hmm. somebody that he can relate to. You know, similar type of players. But that's the route that I'm going because he's too important of a player to lose. And we know Utah isn't really a free agent destination. So you got to keep the most talented guys you have and try to build around those guys.
2009 NBA All-Star Devin Harris with us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Do you think, like it occurs to me, Devin, to Donovan Mitchell's a terrific player, and he had a great playoff series in the bubble, of course. But given his size – and given the fact that he's not really a pure shooter, like, is it possible for a guy at that size who shoots at that level to be the best player on a championship team? Can you build a championship team around Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, you can. He's that dynamic. But what Donovan has to do is become more of a playmaker and get his teammates more involved. We know he can score the basketball. We've seen games he's put up, you know, 40 and 50. But what I saw this playoff run that he's had, he's got to get better at making his teammates better. That's going to open up things more for him. You know, he doesn't shoot it at a great rate, but he shoots it good enough, and he's dynamic enough getting to the paint. But when teams in the playoffs are like I said, taking things away and understanding what he does well, once he gets his teammates more involved, then things will open up more for him, and he can be more of a dynamic scorer at that rate in the playoffs.
All right, Dev, so you played 10 seasons with the Dallas Mavericks, too, with my boy Mark Cuban. And I'm curious, you know, Jalen Brunson had a terrific playoff series. You're obviously talking about a lot of guys, though, who were undrafted second-round draft picks that Luka has had to do this with, getting all the way to the Western Conference Finals. What do you do with that situation? Do you bring in another big-time free agent? Guys like Zach LaVine are out there. Who do you go after to help Dallas get to the next level? Or do you just, frankly, run it back with the core that they have and do it similar to the way Boston has done it with just, you know, draft picks and keep building through the draft.
Well, I don't think you necessarily can run it back. I mean, look at Atlanta last year. They made it to the conference finals. They ran it back. And turns out that it wasn't good enough. I think you got to continue to get better. I think Jalen is a great fit with Luka. You know, not a lot of guys can play off the ball and still be as effective with a guy who has the ball in his hands that much. But, yeah, I definitely think you go after a Zach LaVine. You can never have enough talent in a sense. And if you can get a guy like Zach LaVine, if you can get, you know, guys of that stature to pair with those other guys, then, yes, you constantly want to build if you can. The draft is always kind of a crapshoot. You know, the guys may turn out to be the player that you want them to be. They may not. You know, you won't know. Usually it's a work in progress. But if you can go and get an established guy right now to pair with your superstar, I think that's always the route to go.
Guinness record holder as the fastest man with the basketball, 3.9 seconds. Devin Harris, ladies and gentlemen, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning, Devin.
All right, Dev.
Oh, guys, I always watch your show. Appreciate it, Philip.
All right, brother.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance.
People kill me online. Why do you always give people nicknames by calling them by their initials? I'm like, I don't know. I just always do that. Yeah. Hey,
again,
DH.
Never call me MK.
Don't worry about people on social media.
Yes. Thank you, teacher Keyshawn.
That is always the common refrain on this show. You talk about something on social media.
We talk about things on social media every day as topics.
What does NFT stand for?
Non-fungible tokens.
Ah.
Bitcoin.
Is it all coming together? Going up,
now
Key.
I understand.
Get on it.
Now I understand. Is Bitcoin NFT?
How's the market doing?
Can't touch it.
How's the market doing, Key? You follow the market?
Got a break. Got a break.
Go ahead, Max. Control the show.
Come on. Metaverse and stuff. Come on. One NFL team has a huge distraction, and it's not even a player. It's not their head coach. I mean, if Jack Del Rio really wants it to be explained, if he's asking a question, I'm happy to tutor him on the subject because apparently he needs it. Key, what was your reaction?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, you know, I look at this thing and I look at Jack Del Rio, somebody I've been knowing since my childhood, you know, around Southern California and growing up in Los Angeles and being a USC bat boy, ball boy as a kid and having a relationship with Jack. He completely screwed up big time to a whole nother level. And I think when you describe one thing as, you know, the summer that was that, you know, we had protests and certainly there were riots and if you want to call it riots or out of control behavior by some, there certainly were buildings being burned down. But there was a lot of frustration over the years and years and years. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And when you talk about January 6th, and storming the Capitol and bringing along zip ties and guns and people losing their life and looking to do harm to politicians, that's not a dust-up. It's just not. And I think— Capitol Police officer died in the attack. And so, and then you call it a dust-up, I think you lose me. You lose me because the way that I look at it, Max— majority of the individuals in the summertime that year, we're talking about the protest across the country, was African-Americans, was black folk, me, people that look like me. So I know what you're saying. And the majority of the people in January 6th at the Capitol was white folks. they look like him.
Right. Why is he drawing a connection between
the two things? So you doing something that makes me as a football player, I wouldn't want to play for him. I don't care what anybody say. I'm not going to play for you. I would have a real issue taking the field, playing for somebody that has that view and has it public.
Does it hurt you because you know him personally, because you have a relationship that goes back, for him to come out this way? Is like, you know, I imagine there's some, you know, like personal, you know, like hurt feelings.
It's two things with me. It's the personal side, and it's the non-personal side, as if I didn't even know Jack, if this was just a football coach that coached. But then when I get to the knowing Jack side of it, it's like, seriously, like all these years I knew you, you had certain opinions like this, like you felt certain ways, like to the point when we had an opening for the USC head coaching job, he was one of the names that I recommended strongly, very strongly. Now, I now look at that and I go, well, what if they'd hired your ass? And you would have came out this. Now, these parents in these high schools that you going in these homes talking to these kids and their families, you trying to sell them on something, but you think like this. Now, I feel bad.
Jack Del Rio posted the following, trying to walk back those comments. Quote, I made comments earlier today in referencing the attack that took place on the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. Referencing that situation as a dust-up was irresponsible and negligent, and I am sorry. I stand by my comments condemning violence in communities across the country. I say that while also expressing my support as an American citizen for peaceful protest in our country. I have fully supported all peaceful protests in America. I love, respect, and support all my fellow coaches, players, and staff that I work with and respect their views and opinions.
I think it was a good apology. It doesn't excuse his tweet and him doubling down on a tweet, in my opinion. I am not a person that subscribes to the fact that he should be fired over his First Amendment rights, even though they infuriate me and I am livid about them. I think there's a lot of conflation of reality for a lot of people, and this is another proven moment of that.
You mean between their opinions and reality?
Opinions, yeah. And reality, yes. Mm-hmm. But Key, overall real quick, because I know we have to go to break in a second. Between the things that have happened for the Washington Commanders, with a guy like Jason Wright there, who was in a position of power as a black executive, with Ron Rivera, who was there, from ownership now to this, with Daniel Snyder and the misogynistic views of things that have gone on there, the changing of the names, the fighting back and forth with that, now to this, it's such a horrible look for the organization overall. Just think about the last couple of years, what they have gone through. And it feels like whenever they try to right the ship, something like this occurs, and it just makes me look down upon the organization in general.
I think it's big of you to say you don't want them canceled. I agree, by the way. I do not like cancel culture. I think it chills public discourse.
Agreed.
On the other hand, I want to point something out. If there was some player who expressed some political view like this and created a firestorm on a Jack Del Rio team, I wonder what he would have to say about that, right? Because he just, not the head coach, not the star quarterback, not the owner of the team, a coordinator, just created a firestorm out of nothing by putting his foot in his mouth for the Commanders. Good job, Jack Del Rio. We're going to be covering this story as the days move along to see what the Commanders' response will be, if there is a response. But it's time for today's winning word in our basketball championship giveaway. And today's winning word is Tatum. T-A-T-U-M. Tatum. Make sure to text it to 77700 for the chance to win $3,000. Text Tatum to 77700. You can win 3 G's. Message and data rates may apply. Want another chance to win? Listen to the NBA on ESPN Radio Basketball Championship broadcast this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the chance to win even more cash. A Celtics champion is next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
How long can you call something new? Like, what's the expiration date?
2 years.
On, for example, my brand new show, This Just In.
So, like, what is it, like a year cutoff key? Like, where are you with something that's still new? Like, you've had it for a year, like, all right, it's really not that new.
I would probably say 6 months for me.
To me, I would say this. It's either on the one-year anniversary or, how about this one, the two-year anniversary? Because, like, with a baby.
I would say 6 months, man.
Yeah, it can't be two. But, like, with a baby, you keep counting months until, you know, you don't say 24 months, you say 2 years old.
Because if a movie comes out today, is it still new 4 months from now?
Nah, it's not even new like that, 3 weeks from
saying.
Now. Yeah.
So
but a movie's
a week
different.
From now.
No, but how's a movie different? Is a car new when you buy it and drive it off the lot? No, it's a used car at that point.
I would
it's still new to you for a while, though.
Brand new, no. But new, I'd say within a year, yeah, it's
so
new.
Yeah. How long have you had the car? It's new. You know, I had it for
eight
about
months.
A year.
Yeah, it's pretty new. Yeah.
You can't be telling new, somebody that a car that you have for a year is new. That's not new. You had a car for a year. Yeah, you probably done changed the tires
what
by
about
now.
It 8 months, 9 months?
It's relatively new.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Kind of, relatively. There is a new
relatively.
In there somewhere,
yes.
though. There may be a
that's
car.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, cop this 6 months ago. It's cool. It's probably, I mean, you know.
It's relatively new.
Relatively new.
It still feels fly, though, when you get in your car. You're like, yeah. It still smells brand new a year later.
When you buy clothes, are they still new several months later?
I feel like it's still new if you haven't seen the person yet. Like, if you haven't seen the person in a year, it's like, oh, yeah, I got a new car.
If the rim's not scraped.
Your new relationship, Pat.
I got a new car in the garage. Dude in the garage scraped the rim and won't admit it.
How long is your new relationship? Wait, Pat, you have a new relationship?
Don't mock me.
He's the one to say you have a new relationship. I'm just
asking him how new is a relationship last? Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Is it two, three?
I'd say like 3 months. I'd say 3 months, maybe.
3 months?
No. And how's it going, Pat?
No, I'm not in one. That's why I don't even know what he's talking about.
A new relationship is still new for like the first. I'm married, so I'm the wrong person.
It depends. A car is not the same thing as a relationship.
Your wife's not listening,
Jay.
No, it's nothing about her listening or not. But I would say, like, for me, like, until you, like, it's still new until you get a year into something. That's when stuff starts to get real.
How long are you a newlywed?
I'd say within a year. Yeah, I agree with that.
So why do people
can't you give a wedding present up to the first year?
So why do people run into you and say, oh, I'm in a new relationship? You've been dating a guy for 8 months. What do you mean a new relationship?
Well, you're still learning things about people and 8 months later.
Yeah, it's like what you would say, relatively new.
Relatively new.
You know, it's kind of new. 1 year, you can't say it anymore. This just in, new show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.